Welcome everyone joining us here tonight on the Kings County Radio Club's Technical Question and Answer Net. My name is Roy, my call sign is AC2GS, and I will be your net control operator for this informal net. I will be your host, and Bob, KD2NVB, will be my co-host on this exploration into amateur radio technology. The purpose of this net is to provide a platform for discussion and to offer our answers, as well as promote a conversation among all participants of this net. The club maintains an archive of these technical nets on its web pages, and we also offer original articles and reviews on many topics that are also covered during these technical nets. We also publish technical puzzles for our participants to ponder, and as a starting off to point to discuss important technical concepts. Tonight's TechNet puzzle is posted on our club's website. The link can be found on the front page of our website in orange color type, but if you would like a simple URL to find the webpage, you can simply type into your browser puzzle.kc2rc.com. Also, we will be offering a streaming service for those who cannot receive our repeater signal. Just point your browser to stream.kc2rc.com, and we also offer an Echo Link node available for your use. Just point your Echo Link application to the node KC2RC-R. This net is scheduled for the second and fourth Wednesday of each and every month. All of this information can also be found on our club website, which is www.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. And as always, an application is readily available on our club's website. No question is too simple, no question is dumb. All wisdom begins with the asking of questions. If you have a question, it deserves to be answered. Our format tonight will be to ask for participants to check in only if they have questions or comments for this net. Please give us your first name, your call sign, whether you have a question or a comment. The net will then address each question in order. I will try to provide a cogent answer, and Bob KD2NVB will join in as well. If any other listener has any further facts or opinions, they are free to break in with the word comment, and when recognized, offer their knowledge or experiences to us all. If anyone has any questions, suggestions for future topics of interest, please let us know either here on the technical net or use our email address, which is tech@kc2rc.com. And now I would like to introduce my co-host for this net tonight, Bob KD2NVB. Good evening, Bob.
Welcome to the KC2RC repeater system.
Are you out there, Bob? I just heard a carrier. I didn't hear any audio. Check your microphone connection. I'll give it another try. Bob, KD2NVB, are you out there? Well, I don't hear Bob, which either means maybe his microphone is giving him a problem and he's trying to fix it. So we'll give you a little time to fix things up, and hopefully you'll be back on the net in a few minutes. But right now, let's see if there's anyone out there with any questions or comments. It's you guys that make or break these technical nets. I usually don't do monologues, and I don't have anything particularly prepared to tell you what the new little technical gadgets I'm playing with right now. So let's see if there's someone out there with any questions or comments. Well, once again, I continue to be AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is supposed to be the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We do this on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 p.m. until people run out of questions or comments for us. And we're ready to do this. Bob doesn't seem to be able to get on the net. I don't know if he's there and his microphone isn't quite working right or what's going on. And I know we have two other people on the Echo Link node, which is nice to see. If anyone has any questions or comments for tonight, now's the time to get on the list. So if you have any questions or comments, hit the push to talk and ID yourself and tell me what you got for tonight.
This is AC2ZV. I don't know, Echo Link went red. I don't know if it's working or not. It's in very different behavior. There's no VU meter anymore. I guess it updated the app. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay. I don't know what you mean, because usually I don't think the software self-updates. And what might be happening is if your window is a little on the short side, it might be cutting off the graph. So take a look at the little slider to your right in that window that's now green, hopefully, and move it around and see it will resize the whole window, and you might be able to see the audio graph again.
This is AC2ZB. Yeah, well, it's not like that. I'm on the phone, and used to be when I would transmit, there would be this little fake VU meter that would go up and down that had an incandescent bulb, and it was a black background. And now what's happening is the screen goes red, and now the little button says NTX. So it looks like the something in my phone updated the app, so it's a totally different app anyway. So I hope it works better, because before it didn't sound so great. So how's it tonight?
Sounds fine to me.
Well, it seems to respond a lot faster. It used to be like, I don't know if I cut off the first part of what I said when I said it seems to be or not, but did that come through?
Yeah, it came through.
Well, it looks like this is a good thing. I got some other things to talk to you about eventually, but let's see if anybody else has any questions.
Okay, we'll see how things go. Let me just check to see if Bob has been able to get onto the repeater. At the very beginning of this, I heard a unmodulated carrier. Maybe his microphone's a little wonky, and he went off to fix it. So, Bob, are you out there? KD2NVB. No, I guess he won't be with us tonight. I haven't heard from him. Usually, if he's going to miss a net, he's very good at informing me. So maybe something happened to the radio. Hopefully nothing happened to Bob, and we'll hear from him later. We'll see what happens. Once again, I am still AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're open for business. If anyone has any questions or comments for tonight, please hit that push to talk and ID yourself and tell me what you got. Well, William, what can I tell you? I think we might as well go on to whatever questions or comments that you have. Otherwise, we're going to have a lot of blank space here.
Okay, so I just wondered, what happened to the TechNet puzzles? I remember we used to do those, and it was interesting, and like Bob would guess and stuff like that, and we haven't done that in a long time, and so I wonder what happened to that. Did just sort of, I wasn't on maybe for a while, and nobody wanted to do it. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's not an unlimited supply, and usually for about the last 6 months, we sort of have serial participants. As opposed to, you know, in Limark, most of the guys there seem to hang around. But on this, they kind of come and then they go, and another person comes and goes, another person comes and goes. And, you know, if there's just one person other than me and Bob, I feel it's kind of wasting a puzzle with just one person listening. So I've been waiting for a time like the good old days where there might be actually two simultaneous participants on the net, which hasn't happened. I mean, if you remember, a lot of times even when you join me, you kind of have other things going on. So you kind of join me and then you leave and then you come back and then you leave. So it's been a very weird time where we just have one serial participant, to my knowledge. And, you know, I don't want to kind of blow my supply of puzzles if one person kind of does it and then that's it. And so that's why it's been a long, long time.
Well, I want to let you know, I thought that was quite refreshing because, you know, it made me think back about how things are connected and stuff like that. And, you know, I haven't had a challenge like that recently. And I said, wait, how come we haven't had that on the TechNet? But I can see why. I can see your point entirely. But anyway, is there one actually posted up there that you haven't referred to that's just waiting around or something like that?
Yeah, I have had, unfortunately, pretty much the same one that I just updated the date for about 4 or 5 months. So, you know, if all of a sudden there's actually two at the same time, you know, listeners out there, I can always do it. It's not a very complicated question. So, you know, I mean, I think you would be able to answer it in your sleep. But there might be other people out there who couldn't answer that in their sleep.
This is the KCQRC repeater. Please use PL88.5.
Yeah, this app is much better than it was before. I don't know how the delay is, but I'll have to go check that on the radio in a few minutes. But the app really is much better because when the call sign from the transmitter comes through with, it just cuts out my ability to see the button, and the button seems much more responsive.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that. I have also kind of streamlined, I run the EchoLink client on my desktop, which is an i9, so it should have a lot of cycles to use, but I run a lot of other things on it at the same time. So this particular episode is slightly different in that I have one operation that takes up about 10% of my CPU cycles, and I set up a macro key that kills it at the beginning of the technical net, and it'll reestablish it at the end. So that might be improving the latency of the client that the whole node is operating through. You know, we'd have to kind of experiment to see if turning that big process back on would slow things down.
Yeah, it seems like you got a lot going on. I have a lot going on here too, but I have many different computers all over the house doing silly things. So it's just a lot to keep track of. I want to ask you about deduplication software tonight, if you have any thoughts about that and how best to, you know, deduplicate files without screwing up your old files.
Okay. Well, I mean, really what you're talking about is finding multiple copies of files and necessary ones. There are all kinds of software that does that. There's a lot of file managers, third-party file managers. I use Opus. I use Salamander. They all have the ability to look for copies. I have a particular program that is optimized to detect videos. With the problem with videos is you might have a slightly different video file. So it'll be a different size. It might be a slightly different aspect ratio, but it's the same video recording. It's just from another guy who captured it. And this particular piece of software that I had to pay for, unfortunately, has the ability to kind of go into the middle of the file and detect the video patterns themselves. So if it's transcoded and it has different title on it and it has a different length, it'll still detect it as a duplicate. The big problem, as I see it, of just generically deduping files is that invariably there are DDLs and other files that are generated by compilers. Some of them will plant themselves in Windows directory for all to use. Others put it in a subdirectory of its own. So, and if it doesn't find it in the subdirectory it expects it, it won't work. So unfortunately, there are some cases where you end up with multiple files, especially .dells, that you might want to change its name and test things out to see if it still works, because it's very possible that although you have the same identical file in something more generic, like program data or Windows or System 32, that your particular software was compiled to grab that file from another place entirely.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, because I tried deduplication softwares on different tests, you know, archives and stuff, and I have like different backups, and I'm just trying to drain out the good files in the backup rather than multiple copies of it. But they're all filed in different locations. So, I mean, sometimes they're relevantly part of a different project altogether, even though they're the same file. And then what happens is like, oh, God, it just broke the project. Now that can't work if I get rid of it. So I'm just interested in what you said. You have a special software that looks inside video files and is able to decipher that the video patterns are similar, even though it's different resolutions and names?
Yes. I mean, there's probably more than a few of those. I think mine is written by a company called US Ease, I think that's the name for it. But you know, you could do a kind of a search and preferably find programs that let you demo it before you pay for it. This particular one, which works pretty good, lets you demo it to a degree. It'll scan your files. It will list the video duplicates it detected. You can change different types of offset. Like, unfortunately, I discovered that it comes out of the box scanning the first minute of the video. And if you have a television show or a movie that has a kind of identical initial screen, you know, like the lion roaring before the film starts, it'll get a little confused and think that it's the same video. But you can set an offset timer for that. So it won't scan the video for, say, the first 5 minutes. But I could pull up the program. I'll tell you in a second what it's called.
Well, is this program that runs on a Mac or a PC?
Well, it runs on a PC. I don't know if it has a version that runs on a Mac. It's called EaseUS Video Downloader. I think it cost me $30. But, you know, I mean, it's worth it since it actually does what it says it does. Sorry, this is a different thing. Well, let me go look and find the duplicator. I think it's from the same company. That's what got me confused. I'll look again. Okay, this one's called Duplicate Video Search. I don't know what company it comes from, though, because the window doesn't really say it for some strange reason. It's called Duplicate Video Search. But, I mean, I'm sure there are others that do that. Again, the big problem with finding duplicates, it sort of depends what type of duplicates. If they're, text files, then, you know, it's not that difficult. If it's video, it could be very difficult because you could have a movie from one source, but then you can download the same movie that was put together by another guy. And so a lot of simpler duplicate file finding software would get very confused because, again, resolutions and lengths are different. And names could even be slightly different. But the big problem I have is that ultimately, if you find all of your duplicate files, as you mentioned, a lot of times compilers will include their own DLL files and put them in strange places. And if you don't know that they're supposed to be in strange places, and you say, well, I have a copy of that in my system 32, and you get rid of it in the subdirectory that the program runs, it's very possible that the program will crash. So try to never really delete it. You could either put it in a special place, or you could put an X at the beginning or the end of the file name, so that if it crashes the program, you could just rename it back to the original name and you're back in business.
Yeah, it's something that you should work on in a separate folder or a separate work sandbox kind of thing rather than on your main system. So, I mean, what I've been trying to do is sift through things one by one. And I think that's really manually the only way to do it, and then try to keep that as safe as possible. But I'll check that video search, because I would find that very useful to at least find multiple copies of the same video that potentially didn't get named properly, because that's sometimes what happens to me.
Yeah, I particularly find it a very useful program, especially I have network attached storage devices. So it's not uncommon that within, you know, two of my NASs, I have the same collection of video. So, you know, it's nice to have, copies for important things. But if you copy everything, it starts to eat up way too much space, especially videos eat up a ridiculous amount of space. So I've been able to clean terabytes using it.
Yeah, otherwise you keep buying more and more terabytes, which become harder and harder to manage. So, I mean, that's what I'm looking at right now. But it's down to a dull roar, and I'm trying to, like, keep it under control.
Yeah. Although, fortunately, memory is getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And, you know, every year or so, I'll thumb through Amazon and find ridiculous things like USB thumb drives that are a terabyte in capacity. Hard drives now, I think they go up to 27 terabytes. They're using really intriguing technology these days. They are compressing the bytes into such a small area of disk space that they have to play all kinds of tricks of physics. The normal capacity was reached years ago, but if you superheat the small disk space, It makes it more capable of recording to it. So modern day very high capacity hard drives have built in lasers that give that disk space a small blast of laser heat prior to magnetically encoding in the smallest space possible the data in that area. So it's sort of amazing to me. And who knows when they reach their limit? You know, when they were doing 10 terabytes, I thought that was about all she wrote. But again, something like 27 or so terabytes per hard drive. I don't remember how many platters are in those hard drives, but there's only so many you can put in. But, you know, they tricked physics again. If you put in too many platters, the air currents will screw things up. And so modern day high capacity hard drives have very low viscous environments. I think they have helium inside the cases, and they have them air locked so that you can't escape. So the technology that goes into a modern ultra-high density hard drive is amazing, and the price that they charge is compatible with the prices that were charged for high-end hard drives when they were, you know, a terabyte or even less.
It certainly is amazing, and I was also looking at stuff today where they have these SSD sandwiches that basically go up in the terabytes, and then so it's like a petabyte in brick. So things are just unbelievably going in a data storage way. Hopefully, just migrate out of what I have into maybe something like that in the future, and then that retire the spinning disk.
Yeah, I would assume eventually, instead of hard drives, when solid state memories have enough density and are more cost effective, it still costs significantly more to get an SSD NAS than to get a comparable hard drive NAS. So when the prices are somewhat similar, then I foresee that they do sell a few NASs in which instead of a hard drive that get plugged into them, just SSD boards get plugged into them. And they have a lower capacity and they tend to cost a little bit more than a hard drive base. And hard drives are especially if you use them in a NAS that's RAID configured where there's redundancy. Thankfully, I haven't had too much of a problem. A drive has failed once or twice, but I've been able to just swap them out with another drive, and it recollects the spare, and I'm back in business. A while ago, a terrible thing happened. An idiot decided to do some carpentry with a electrically really dirty electric saw, rotary saw, and decided rather than to plug the rotary saw into an outlet, he was going to plug it into my UPS, which supposedly was filtering the noise out of my NASs. So he basically blew out my NAS power supplies, and I was able to get a replacement for them and put them back into working order. But aside from idiots, by themselves, my NASs have behaved rather well. After a certain amount of time, after about 10, 12 years, it becomes, I tend to kind of upgrade to the latest version of network attached storage, because if you keep your network attached storage to the bitter end when the company has gone out of business and there aren't any replacement parts and, you know, you're taking chances again, I don't want to take that much chance. So right now I use Synology network attached storage units. Synology is a well-respected, I think, Chinese manufacturer, Taiwan.
Yeah, wow, great to hear all that. I don't have anything near as fancy as that. I just have stacks of drives around here. But obviously you have a lot more things going on than I do. Anyway, maybe somebody's got a technical question for you out there, Roy, or maybe Bob's come back to the, Let's see if anybody else is out there.
Okay. Once again, I continue to be AC2GS. Unfortunately, we had a guy on the Echolink node, and he dropped off, so I hope it's nothing I said. Nevertheless, if anyone's out there and has any questions or comments, please hit that push to talk. So it seems like this is going to be both a very quiet Wednesday technical net and probably a very short one.
Yeah, AC2ZB, Roy, thank you very much. I was hoping that more people would join us, and I don't have much more questions for you tonight, and we can't raise anybody. So I tried to go into the puzzle to see if it was up there, but as soon as I tried to take the phone off Echolink, it disconnected. It used to stay connected and let you drive around on the phone, but now that doesn't work anymore, so you have to stay on Echolink if you're on Echolink.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, what can I tell you? I used to kind of, the way this thing is configured, I have to go on my personal Echolink account and log on unless there's someone else on Echolink. As long as there's someone other than me on Echolink, this weird connection of me kind of going through Echolink and the computer and into the radio and such works. But say for whatever reason your connection dropped. If I didn't log in on another account, which I do, I would simply lose Echolink entirely. That's a weird way that Echolink works.
Well, it certainly seems to work pretty well, and it's working great tonight. So I want to thank you so much for hosting us on Echolink, because I'm away from the radio right now. Anyway, thanks a lot, Roy73. Have a great evening.
Welcome to...
Okay, very good. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you down the line. Okay, one more time. This is AC2GS. My name is Roy, and this is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're here on the second and fourth Wednesday of each and every month, starting at 9 o'clock and going for as long as anyone wants it to go, which I guess in this case is not that long. Before we kind of call it a night, give anyone out there who might be listening a chance. If you have a question or a comment or a topic for discussion, please hit that push to talk. Otherwise, we'll call it a night.
Good night, Roy. AC2ZV, I'll be clear listening, maybe.
Very well. This net has been brought to you by the Kings County Radio Club. Our club is an ARRL affiliate. We meet on the first Wednesday of each and every month. Our next meeting will be April 2nd, which will be virtual using our Zoom software. Club members will be emailed with the details of the meeting. Non-members wishing to join a general club meeting can email me, AC2GS, with some form of identification for the required link. Although our meetings informally begin after 7 p.m., our formal regular general meeting starts at 8 p.m. and continues until anywhere from 9 to 10 p.m., depending upon the number of points that are covered. We have a weekly 2-meter club net every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. on this repeater, and this technical net meets on the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month at 9 p.m. We also sponsor a 10-meter net every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. on 28.380 megahertz upper sideband. We offer an audio stream of our KC2RC repeater on the internet, as well as our 10-meter net. Just type into your browser stream.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. As always, an application is readily available on our club's website. If you would like to contact the host of this technical net, simply address your email to tech@kc2rc.com. We maintain an active website at www.kingscountyradioclub.com or www.kc2rc.com, which offers archives of this technical net, amateur radio news, original articles, and technical forums. Please visit our website and participate. Our website hosting services were generously donated by local Brooklyn-based web hosting, Three Aliens Web Hosting, who we would like to thank. As the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix once said, knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. So try to listen a bit more and talk a bit less. It's time to roll this all up and shut it all down for now, but we'll be back to do it all over again March 26th, and you're all welcome to join us. So thanks to all the people that participated tonight. That would be William, William, and William. Especially would be Bob, KD2NVB. I hope he's well. Hopefully I'll find out what happened tonight. Without you guys, I'd just be talking to myself. So this is Roy, AC2GS, going clear and getting the heck out of here. Until next time, this is AC2GS Clear.